To be here. It's a trip I've been looking forward to for a long time because I was born here in San Antonio, not too far from here. And I used to know this area pretty good because I know my father is trying to buy land. We looked all around here in this area here and everywhere else. During those days, land was selling here for $5 an acre. And so I guess it's a little higher now, isn't it?
We're
going to
electrocute you.
Oh, you're
going to
electrocute me?
Yeah. Oh, if you go past 12, a big shock comes along.
Up till 12.
Get you wired up here, they won't be able to get a sound on you.
Keep in case you run off.
Well, I don't want to be electrocuted. He said up till 12 o'clock. Okay. My, I mean, they limit your pastors here, don't they? Your speakers. Well, I have lots to talk about because it's been 5 years. And also I've been through 4 countries just recently, so there's a lot of things I want to talk about, but I can't talk about it. And he wants a message on top of that, so. So, till 12. Okay. Well, one thing I'm really scared of being electric shocks, you know, so I'll remember that. Well, it's good to be here. It's San Antonio is my hometown, and I was born and raised here, educated here, up to high school, inducted in Fort Sam Houston, discharged in Fort Sam Houston, and after that, well, I started running around. Went to Texas A&M, and then after Texas A&M, went to Canada for my Bible study. Then after that, I went to Brazil, which is close to 39 years ago. Amen. But every once in a while, I do come through San Antonio, maybe 5 or 6 years. So I still keep in touch with San Antonio. But we're thankful for the way you people, you brethren, have been behind our work. My brother, Hideo, wants to send a special greetings to all of you. And also my wife, she stayed in Japan because she's trying to get extra treatments for her facial problem. But after that, she'll be going back to Brazil maybe about October. It's too bad she's not with me. I feel a little lonesome traveling in a car all by myself. But I picked up the car in Miami, but she couldn't get her passport in time, so I had to drive all around on the car till I got to Kansas City. Well, then after Kansas City, well, she joined me there. Then we traveled all over Detroit, then to Toronto, all the way across Canada, then back from Canada back to then to Los Angeles. Left the car there for a little over 2 months. I picked it up just a few days ago, and I traveled here to San Antonio, and now I'm here. So in a few more, and then I have to be traveling on back to Florida and leave my car in Florida. Then from there I'll be taking off for Brazil. So I have have to go a little bit yet, but it's good. The Lord's with me, and it gives a person time to pray, gives a person time to listen to music, good music over the tape, and other same things. Also look at the country. Of course, I've been through these through most of the places where I've been through many times, but still, it's something new all the time. It's good. It's good to see the wonders of what the Lord has done, His creation, His all these beautiful mountains, the desert, and the rivers, and the forests, and all these things. Oh, it's wonderful to see the creation of God. Some people, a lot of people don't believe that the Lord created all these things. Well, if the Lord didn't create it, who created these things? Well, but you can see that the Lord has had his hands in all of these things. Everything is perfect. Everything is perfect except what man has put his hands on. Yes. So through the gospel, we're trying to put things back in order. And I tell you, all these places I've been through, well, I noticed that where the gospel has gone in, things are beautiful. But where the gospel hadn't gone in, they may have everything, but there's something terribly missing. Something terribly missing. And I noticed that in Japan. Oh, Japan's a beautiful country. Who have been through Japan? Well, it's a beautiful country. Beautiful country. And now they have a tremendous railway system. I think it's about the best in the world. And you can set your clock by all their trains there. Oh, except when they have the huge, terrible storms out there or earthquakes out there. But everything, the train just goes perfectly, and they have good, they're building better, better highways out there. Oh, Japan is getting real developed. Oh, beautiful buildings, everything else. And all the places you go, it's beautiful. But you can just feel something's missing there. Something very dark. And that's the gospel. That's missing. Because Japan has less than 1% Christians. Less than 1%. And it's not improving. And oh, my heart is heavy when I go over Japan. I said, oh, if this place had the gospel. Here. And it's just missing. Of course, there are Christians working there, but most of them are working in the cities. They're hardly touching the country. And country needs a lot of gospel. It's a harder place, I tell you. In the country, people are setting their customs. They have their religions and everything else. But the gospel can penetrate anywhere. Oh, we need some real spirit-filled missionaries going into the countries and to these villages and giving out God's word. Oh, you can see all these huge temples and this and that and this and that. But the people are realizing that these things aren't bringing them happiness. It's not bringing them success. It's just a formality. Just a formality. So we really need the gospel in Japan. Most of the missionaries going there are just going into the cities. Just going into the cities. I know Japan, Tokyo has thousands of missionaries there. But I don't know what, but they need to take the gospel out way out in the country. Oh, because Japan is really needing the gospel. Japan is so rich. Oh, I tell you, if I can only tell you about Japan, but I don't have time. But I think they have good cars all thrown out this way, this way. And bicycles. My boy picked up two bicycles. They're good bicycles. And he said, and that's how he goes to work. I saw almost a brand new bicycle thrown out in the street right in the middle of the city. I guess he hit a fence post. He hit a post or a car or something like that. He just threw the bicycle out. I guess it cost about $200. But he just threw it out. He didn't want to change the tire or change the front wheel. So he just threw it away, and I guess he took off. Well, it's sitting there. So the city has to go out there and pick it up and throw it away somewhere else. Well, my second boy is working there in Japan. He's preaching to the Brazilian Japanese. And he rented an apartment. And then he, to furnish his place, well, he went out there where they have things thrown away. He picked up a good stove there, which was all dirty. When I guess if someone got it dirty, so they didn't want it, so they just threw it away. So he picked it up and cleaned it all out. It looks just like new now. And it cost you over $100. But then he picked up a refrigerator. Someone wanted a new refrigerator. So this old refrigerator they had, about 2-3 years old, so they just threw it away. So and then all these shelves and things, they all look almost new, but I guess they put in better shelves and whatnot, so they just threw it away. So he picked it up, and electric fan. Well, he had a television there, but he knew what I thought about television, so he said, well, I guess I'll throw this away, because to make room for us to stay there. Well, anyway, of all the things that he has there, well, he's not a garbage man, but he's good stuff, and he doesn't... And he doesn't have much money, so he fixed it all up. Well, that's Japan nowadays. Before Japan, oh, they wouldn't throw away one grain of rice or anything like that. Oh, they were so strict. That's what my mother taught me. He said, if you throw away one grain of rice, he said, you'll be poor all your life. Well, so even now, if I spill some rice, well, I pick up to the last grain. But now, oh, boy, the waste out there is terrible, I tell you. Oh, well, one thing, the Japanese are, they have pretty good wages, but they don't have enough, they don't receive enough, to buy a house, so they can work all their lives and still won't be able to buy a house. So what can they spend their money on? Well, they spend their money on vacation, on clothes, and all the other things, but still they have money left over. So they just buy a lot of good things and throw away what things that they don't want. So there's a lot of waste in Japan. It's a different Japan from what I used to hear about from my father. Well, but one thing I noticed, there are people hungry for the gospel there. I went through Okinawa and led a few people there to the Lord, and led a person to the Lord in Japan. Well, they're still hungry. I met a young girl. She's a college graduate. And she just told me, she says, I just came out of the convent. So I went there. I was looking for something. And I thought maybe the convent or the Catholics will give me something. And she went to the convent for 3 months. And she got disappointed, and she left the convent. And then I met her, and she was real hungry. And I explained the gospel to her, and she said, you know, that's what I need. And she accepted the Lord and got a letter from her later on and say that she's going on with the Lord. She's very happy. Well, praise the Lord. My wife is in Japan, and she's keeping in contact with her. She's trying to get her to go to a camp there and go to certain churches there. But there's a lot of work to be done. I always thought to myself, I told my wife, oh, if I were 40 years younger, maybe I'd like to go to Japan and evangelize there. Well, but, you know, you can't be everywhere. And there's you have to go where the Lord sends you. You know, Brazil was the last place I wanted to go. And I told the Lord, I said, say, Lord, I said, how about send me to Hawaii? I was... Because in the Second World War, I was in a Japanese group, you know, and I made a lot of friends with the Hawaiians. The one person he showed me, he said, look here, he said, picture my sister. He said, I want you to meet her. Oh, she's real pretty. But that wasn't the reason I wanted to go there. But anyway, I made real good friends with the Hawaiian people, the Hawaiian Japanese there. They were real good to me. And I thought maybe I'd like to go there and evangelize them. But the Lord said, no. I said, okay, well, how about Canada? He says, I was a pastor there for just a short time, and the people were real good to me. And I said, well, Lord, I said, I don't mind being here in Canada. And the Lord says, no. Well, how about the States? He says, there's a lot of Japanese here. The Lord says, no. Well, I'll go to Mexico, I told the Lord. I'll go to Mexico. He says, I won't have much trouble learning Spanish, because I knew some Spanish already. The Lord says, no. I says, well, where do you want me to go? He said, Brazil. Oh, Brazil. You know, here in school, I'm sure our pastor here will confirm that they don't teach much geography in America. But all I knew about Brazil was they had monkeys, they had alligators, and they have a huge jungle areas and a big river through near the equator there, and they grew some coffee there, and that's about extent of my geography I learned. So I said, well, I don't want to go to Brazil. But the Lord said, there's where I want you. I said, okay, I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord. So I did go there. And I found everything what I studied. I found the monkeys out there, and the alligators, and the jungles, and everything else out there. I mean, I didn't see coffee, very little coffee in the northern Brazil. But that's where the Lord put me. And I had to learn Portuguese, I had to learn Japanese, And I had to find a place to live. I was all by myself and tromping through the jungle areas and along the river banks and whatnot. It was a good training ground. I said, boy, this is harder than the training I had in the Second World War. But it was because there's a spiritual battle on top of that. But it was good. It was a good training place for me. And I had a lot of experiences there. And I'm still learning today. You know, Lord help us when we come to a point where we don't learn anymore. The Lord is still teaching me. There's a lot of things to learn. We'll learn all our lives if we have our hearts open. Well, we're thankful. My brother and I, we're very, very thankful for this church here. Been backing us 100%. And our pastor, Kincaid, he takes care of our books out there. I'm sure it's a terrible, terrible job up there, taking care of our books. But he's very, very good. And we're very, very, very thankful for this part that the church has had and our pastor here. The last time I was here, they were just building this church here. He just showed me inside here, but it wasn't finished. But they finished it later on. It's a beautiful church. My, it's a beautiful church. Well, anyway, it's good to speak English for a while. Last week I was speaking Portuguese and Japanese. More Japanese than Portuguese, but I was preaching in Japanese, and also I preached a little bit in Portuguese. Well, it's good. Here, when I arrived in America, I looked around and said, say, these guys are speaking English. It sounded strange to me. When I arrived in Japan, I told my wife, say, these people around here are speaking Japanese. I said, why, sure, you're in Japan. Well, because I've been hearing in Brazil, we speak Portuguese out there. So when you come from one country to another and they're speaking different languages, for a while you have to sort of get accustomed to it. So it's good to be able to speak English for a while. And just a few after this, I have to go back and speak Portuguese again and Japanese. Well, on this trip, I do have to speak Japanese because there's a Japanese meeting in Florida. There's a little house meeting there, so I have to speak in Japanese. But it's good. You know, in Japan, I spoke in Spanish. I met some people from Peru and other Spanish countries. And English, of course. There are people from Pakistan and India and and I saw a group out there. They're talking out there, and I'm a curious person up there. So my wife, she's always getting after me. But I went there and said, "Say," I said, "I noticed you're talking some kind of language I can't understand." I said, "What are you talking?" He said, "We're talking in a Philippine language." I said, "Oh, Philippines." I thought you people spoke Spanish too. Also, we speak some Spanish, but we said we have our own Philippine language. And they look like they're workers, you know, common day laborers out there. But I found that they're college professors, they're technical people, and whatnot. They're people of the upper class. Well, they didn't look like it. But I guess, and the Japanese don't treat them as people of the upper class either. But they were real friendly to me. They were real happy that I would speak to them. And I told them that I'm a preacher of the gospel and whatnot. And, you know, I had an opportunity to give out tracts in Japan, Japanese tracts, Portuguese tracts, English tracts. Oh, man. Well, anywhere you go, you have opportunity to work for the Lord, I tell you. Anywhere you go, just because you're going to another country, I can't work here anymore because it's not my language or this and that. Well, anywhere you can. The Lord, this field belongs to the Lord. And if wherever He sends you, that's the place you should be working. Well, we're thankful for the place that the Lord has given us to work. In my car, I have a stack of tracts that I picked up at the Christian Service Center and ran to, and I've been giving those out. And it's a real, I know some people, they say, "Ah, I don't want that." He says, "Give it to somebody else." Well, people are pretty hard here in America, but still, there are some people who accept them. They say, "Oh, thank you." And it's very, you have good opportunity. Day before yesterday, Reverend Homer Duncan in Lubbock, I visited him, and And he took me to a restaurant. And he says, you know, there's a lady here. She said, I've known her for some time, but I don't know what she is. I don't know if she's a Philippine or Chinese or I don't know what country she's from. He said, will you talk to her? So I asked her, I said, where are you from? And she says, I'm from Okinawa. Ah, Nihongo Anashidekimasu Kai, I asked her. I said, can you speak Japanese? She said, of course, that's the language of Okinawa, Japanese. So we had a good time speaking in Japanese. And I told the pastor, I said, she speaks Japanese. She's a Japanese. She said, oh, I have Japanese tracks. I'll give it to her next time I come here. Well, that's a good opening for him. Well, wherever you go, well, there's always opportunity to work for the Lord. I'm thankful that the world belongs to the Lord. Well, I have to get into my message here, and I still have to get into my report about Brazil, too. And I only have 20 more minutes before I get shocked here, so I better get to work here. Well, let's have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this time of fellowship that we can have because of the Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, we're thankful that He paid the terrible price that we may have eternal life, we may have fellowship. Oh, Lord, thank you that thou art a great God, loving God, God that wants to give thy best to these people who are lost and to us who are saved. Lord, we just commit this short time into thy hands, asking for thy blessing, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I have a little short message from 2 Timothy 3, 1 to 9. It's a message I'm sure you heard time and time over, and I'll just give a few points on it, then after I'll give a report of Brazil. 2 Timothy 3, I'll read 1 to 9. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt mind, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their fire shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. We have a picture of the prophecy of the last days. It says, perilous times. I tell you, it is for today. The perilous time is upon us. Everything that's written here, it's been fulfilled right now. Right now. And we're in a very, very perilous time. We're in the end days. Before I went to Brazil, the Lord said, my coming is soon. He says, I want you to go to Brazil. And I said, well, I should begin there quickly. But now I feel more than ever that His coming is soon. More than ever. Oh, I tell you, all these things, all the prophecies. I wish we could spend a little more time. But all these prophecies, earthquakes and all these plagues and all these things, it's all over. It's all over. While I was in Japan, they had this terrible earthquake in Hokkaido. Oh, earthquake destroyed a city out there. After that, I had a huge fire, just burned up everything. Then a huge tidal wave came over and just covered the city, took people out into the ocean. And then after that, they had places where they had homes, a hotel and whatnot close to the mountains where just mountain just fell upon these homes. Just one hotel, they had more than 60 people that got covered up. Well, it's happening. It's happening. It's a terrible time. And you know, Japan's supposed to be a terrible hot country right now. Well, I was very hot in Okinawa. I stayed there for one week. And oh, it was hot, I tell you. And I had fan on myself all night long. And place where I stayed, the pastor there. He's a pastor of one of our churches there in Okinawa. And he even has a fan for the dog. I never heard anything like it. He had a fan for the dog during the night and another fan for the dog during the daytime. Well, I thought that was the limit, but I tell you, it's hot over there. It's really hot. I took about 4 baths a day over there. And my wife goes, "You're always taking a bath out there." Well, I said, "Well, sure it's hot." And I have no time, so I'll take a bath. And she said, "Well, you shouldn't be taking so many baths." But you know, she broke out of all kind of rash over here. I said, "Listen here." I said, "If you'd have taken a few baths, you wouldn't have had all those rashes." Well, but you know, Japan was fairly cool this year. They had a lot of rain. All the Japanese said, "We never saw it this much. We never had so much rain here. There's something unusual coming in, because it's supposed to be tremendously hot here in Japan." Well, but something's happening, and here I come to the United States, and what's happening in the United States? Well, there's a tremendous flood in the Mississippi area, and also we're having rains here and whatnot. Things are changing all over the world. I tell you, it's all over the world. The Japanese are expecting more earthquakes out there. And as I went through the country out there, they said, "Well, here's a mountain here that's going to explode any time. Here's another one here. Here's a mountain that's smoking, whatnot." He said, "We don't know when these mountains are going to explode." Well, it might explode any time. Well, but you know, the philosophy of Japanese, I was kind of disappointed. They said, "Well, we're going to die anyway, so sooner or later, well, if it comes, well, if it comes." It does seem to be the philosophy. They're not worried about the afterlife. Oh, that's terrible. I thought, my. They had all their religions here, which doesn't give them hope. Doesn't give them hope. They have all these beautiful big pagodas and all these temples and all these other things out there. It's just a formality. Just a formality. It's a really shame. But we're in the end days. Well, 1 to 8. I have my outline. It says prophecies. 1 to 8. Various types of prophecies. Well, and it's been fulfilled right now, right before our eyes. Right before our eyes, it's been fulfilled. My second point I have here is punishment. Punishment. It's all peace. Punishment. Verse 9. And he says, "But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was." Well, the Lord has punishment, and the Lord is punishing various countries. Punishing America. Economically, America is going down. And also, a huge flood the other day. It shows that God is working. God is working. And people are expecting these cyclones and whatnot. It's coming. They have these cyclones and whatnot that they never had in these areas before. And it's strange. In some place in Brazil, too, we're having earthquakes. I mean, it's just a small tremor. But Brazil never had it before. Never had it. If Brazil ever have a big earthquake in Sao Paulo, all the buildings will go down right flat. I tell you. Because these big buildings that Brazil has hardly has any iron in it. They don't have beams or anything. They just have a few irons out there. And if they ever have an earthquake, the buildings will fall flat to the ground. Japan. I said, "Wow, for this little house, they use tons and tons of iron out there." Well, sure they have to, because of such a earthquake. And these big buildings, well, half those buildings out there made out of iron, I tell you. Boy, it's tremendous. And they have such big, tall buildings in Japan nowadays. And they have earthquakes, but earthquakes won't tear down these buildings because they're built to resist the earthquakes. It's a tremendous, they have huge buildings in Japan. I never saw anything like it. Well, but the Lord is showing California, they're getting all kind of diseases, all kind of insects destroying thousands and thousands of acres of the farmland out there. Oh, I tell you. But they don't have insecticides to combat these things. In different parts of America, it's getting to be dry. They're draining all the water out of the ground, and they don't have any more water in the ground. Well, waters that have been in there for thousands of years. Well, they pull it all out. When they finish with that, well, they won't have any more water. America's facing a tremendous problem of water. And other things, all the diseases that's coming up. Oh, I tell you. Well, if they ever find a cure for AIDS, well, the Lord sent the worst ones. So you can just expect the Lord is still living. He's living, I tell you. No one's going to outdo God, I tell you. Yes, Lord has punishment for people who won't keep his laws. Well, so we have to see what the Lord has for us and follow the word. And this is the only thing that we have to really to guide our lives. Outside of this, nowadays they have so much psychiatry, and they have so much different new religions and this and that, this and that. But it's not solving. It's a problem. It's not solving. Last thing, preparedness. We have to be prepared. We have to be prepared for what the Lord has for us to do. For Christian, it's in chapter 4, verse 2, it says, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. I tell you, if you're a Christian, you should be out telling others about the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a sign that a person is a Christian. He wants to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll say the text of A&M. And you know, after I got saved, I was used to be real timid. I have a hard time speaking to anybody. But the Lord says, I want you to go out and testify. At first, it was tremendously hard for me. Oh, it was so hard. But the Lord said, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. I said, well, I don't want the Lord to be ashamed of me. So I start testifying little by little by little by little. And the Lord gave me courage more and more as I testified. And the Lord was good. And I started making groups out there and having Bible studies and then prayer meetings out there. Well, if you are saved, you have concern for the souls of others. And the Lord wants you to go out there and preach the word. You know, when he called Peter and and the other disciple, he said, come after me, I'll make you fishers of men. Right after he called us, saved them, he said, I want you to be fishers of men. Go ye in all the world and preach the gospel. He wants, that's for us too. If we're Christians, and we're not telling others about the Lord Jesus Christ, well, you have no right to call yourself a Christian. That's right. You believe in Romans 10:9-10, you believe with your heart and you confess it with your mouth. He repeats that twice in Romans, in verses 9 and 10, in chapter 10. Well, that's a Christian. You believe in your heart and you tell others. And that's a sign of a Christian. If you're not telling others, well, you have to search yourself and see if you're a Christian or not. Well, we have to be prepared. And Lord's coming is anytime. That's right, anytime. He can come anytime. Are you prepared? Today. He said, give account of yourself. Are you prepared to give account of yourself? Well, we should be prepared. Well, that was my message, and then I'll give you just a little brief of what we work at doing in our... Right now, they're prepared. We're having a... They just finished a Bible camp out there. They had nearly 200 people there in the Bible camp there. And we have summer Bible camp. This was a winter Bible camp because the weather is completely different this side and the other side. And then in January, we'll have our summer Bible camp. And also, we have our other retreats for the young people. We had a retreat, a carnival retreat, they call it. And we had that in Bauru this year, and that had it last year too. We had around 150 people there. But it was good. It rained a lot. You know, during the carnival days, it really rains. The Lord just shows his wrath upon this carnival, whatever they call it. And it's a terrible thing. It's one of the most immoral things that they have in Brazil, the carnival. I guess they have it in Mexico and other places too. But wherever there's Catholicism, you have carnival. And it's a wicked thing. You can do anything that you want to, what your heart desires for for a few days. Then after that, well, you have 40 days or what do you call it, where you have to suffer for the Lord and whatnot. But before that, you can do whatever you want to. Well, it's a way that Satan is using to destroy many, especially young people, destroying many young people. We have retreats, try to keep these people from these carnivals. Also, we have a Bible school there. We're writing our prayer letters by Bible school. Soon as we have enough students again, we'll start another group of Bible school. And we have about 5-6 teachers. I'm one of the instructors there at the Bible school. But he deals with, my brother teaches the biggest part of the Bible. And then we have a mental institute there. Well, we don't call it institute, but we call it a sanatorium. Right now, we have about 8 mental people there. People that they've been thrown out of mental houses, whatnot, and had no place to go. We take them in. They're all Japanese, but we don't give them any medicine outside of aspirins or cold pills and. We take them all away from these other kind of medicines that they give to these mental people, and we make them work, because in a lot of instances, mental institutes, they just stay there and do nothing. But here we make them work. They work, and it helps them. It's one of the part of therapy. But we pray for them. We pray for each one every day, every day. And they come to all of our church meetings, and they get better. I know one person got completely well, and he took off. He says, "I want to go out and work." So he went out and he started working. He has almost a normal life right now. Well, the Lord blesses. And those people come out there, they can't even speak or they can't do anything. Yet we pray for them, they start speaking and they start responding. And we really, really show love to these people. Most of these people have been mistreated. They've been kicked around, beat around everything else. But we show the real love for them out there. And they get better. Well, we'll give them incentive to get better, for them to pray, seek the Lord, to be saved. We give them incentive to do that. Right now we have 11 churches. We did have about 13 churches, but we had a little split. Of course, and Satan works in any places where God's work is going on. So we have 11 churches now in Brazil, and one church in Okinawa. I made a trip to Okinawa. I didn't know how the church was going on over there, because we wrote a letter and they didn't pastor didn't respond. So my wife and I, we didn't know what to expect out there. So I wrote another missionary friend of mine out there. She said, "Would you sort of look into the matter of my church out there and see what the pastor's doing and tell him that I'm coming over?" So the pastor, that friend of mine went and talked to the pastor there. And the pastor said, "Oh, yes, yes, oh, sure." I said, "I'll go after them out there. I'll keep them in my house up there." And we went out there. We didn't know what to expect. But when we went there, our pastor was waiting for us. I said, "Well, thank the Lord." And he says, "Hey, come on." He says, and he was really nice to us and took us to dinner. He said, "Come on, won't you stay in my house?" I says, "Oh," the other friend of mine invited me to stay in his house. But I stayed in the pastor's house. It's a real, real small place. It's a very, very tight place. But we stayed there. Had a very, very nice time. And I noticed that he really had a revival in his heart. He had a revival in his heart. Well, praise God. He had another worker with him, but the worker left him. So he was working all by himself and with his wife, and he was doing a good job. He just opened up a nice place to meet. It's a small place, but it's a beautiful place. And when I was very, very glad, and he took me around visitation, and I was real encouraged. He was really encouraged in his word. And he said he wants to really go on with the Lord. Well, I'm thankful. I'm thankful that work in Okinawa is still going on. Well, I'm out of a job now. You have a job here for me? Well, I'm not exactly out of a job, but I gave up my pastor in Bauru. My boy, my oldest boy, he was here 5 years ago. He studied Moody for a year, then he went back to Brazil and did medical work. And he was doing real well. He's a very good doctor. So I don't want to brag about my son, but he did real well and all. He was running around almost 24 hours a day. But I said, Lord, grip his heart. I said, get him into the ministry. And then all at once, one day, he got all disgusted. He said, I'm going to give up. He said, I'm going to our Bible school in Campinas. Well, okay, Lord bless you. And he took off, and he studied there for almost a year, and then he became assistant pastor in São Paulo, and then after that, this year is the annual conference, well, he was voted to be a pastor in Bauru. So I'm transferring to São Paulo to open up new areas. So pray for me, because São Paulo is the most polluted city in the world, and I hear I'm with bronchitis and whatnot. But whoever the Lord sends, he said his grace is sufficient. So I'm looking forward to opening to a new work. I'm trying to keep up my horn here, because as soon as I go back to Brazil, I have to get our band together and lead the band out there for street meetings and whatnot. So every time I get an opportunity, I'm trying to blow my horn here. In a good way, good way. Well, anyway. But we'll, as soon as I get back, we'll be having a crusade there. So I'm real anxious to go back. People ask me to stay a little longer here and there, but I feel that there's a real responsibility of this crusade in São Paulo. So do pray for this crusade. It's a tremendous opportunity for us to try to reach people for the Lord. And we need a lot of prayer. It's tremendous, but it's a small activity. We try to advertise to all the Japanese in different places. You know, you can't visit Japanese homes anymore. It used to be you can go to all apartments and all that, but not anymore. Oh, it's very tightly guarded, because so many killings and so many robbery in Brazil. So in any homes, they won't answer you. So it's real hard. So what we do, we give out tracts tracts and invitation along the streets and in the entranceway of the subways, places of that sort. And then we go down the street with a loudspeaker on top of the car, advertise a newspaper and whatnot. And the Lord blesses small. We have meetings. And every year, several souls are being saved. So we're thankful. It's not a big crusade as you hear about Billy Graham crusade and all those crusades, but it's a small work, but the Lord is blessing. We talked many times, shall we quit this work? Because it takes so much. All of our pastors from all the different places have to come up there to help out that week. Is it worth it? We'll see. All expense and all the sacrifices that we're sacrificing of other churches. But we have always come to the conclusion it's worth it, because we're dealing with souls. We're dealing with souls, and we want to reach these souls while we can. Well, there's so many other things I like to talk about, many things I left out, but the time will not allow. But do pray for us. We're thankful for your prayers. We're thankful for your gifts for our work. And I trust that my brother Hideo will be coming through the next time. His health is going down little by little. He's not as healthy as he looks, because, you know, during the Korean War, he was a nuclear scientist, and he was messing with this. He was a head scientist of the atom research. And but you know, the group that he was working with, there were eight of them, including himself. And you know, six already have died of cancer. And he's been attacked once in a while by different disease, but he feels that his time is short. So do pray for him. Because one of our pastors about 2 years ago passed away. He was one of our best pastors, but he passed away. So our director, the board of directors, little by little is getting eliminated. So we have to, so that's why we put in some new people. We have 10 people in our board director now. We used to have 5. But now we put in some new, voted in some new people there, and training them in case that the rest of them start taking off. We'll Well, they can come in their place. At my age, he already told all of you I'm 70, so I don't have. The Bible said we sometimes we reach 70, and with a lot of suffering and whatnot, we can maybe reach up to 80. Well, I don't know about the 80, but I trust that I can work for the Lord as long as I can, because I know that soon I have to give account of myself. And all of you have to give account of yourself. Not how much money you've been made, or how much education you had, or what this or that. You have to give account of what the obedience that you had to the Lord. Because the Lord saves us to do His will. And He wants us to be faithful in what the task that He has for us. If any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up the cross daily, and follow Him. And He wants us to walk the way of the cross. The way of the cross is the one that He wants us to walk if we want to expect to get to heaven. But shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for Thy many mercies to us. We're thankful, Lord, that Thou art working in various parts of the world. We're thankful that where the gospel has gone in, that it has saved souls, has given hope, eternal hope, and has changed lives of these people. Oh, Lord, we ask that Thou would just keep each person in this church faithful in the task which Thou has appointed each one. And for those that still doesn't have the real eternal life, salvation, oh, speak to these people, oh, Lord, that they will be saved, that they will have a life abundant here, and also life eternal in heaven. We're thankful for all Thy many mercies. Thank You for the love of the people of this church here. We ask that Thou bless each one. For I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.